What you want? We've got a mod to automation, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voice is about the games, and you know we talk about the latest goings more so than any other. And our Mountain West matters. Well, will you? You listen to this podcast too. And you rant about this podcast too. Just a site where Jeremy analyzes some matches and kiss the cream the britches. We do some good interviews, and you know from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Aston, they're calling out our name. Where will you? You listen to this podcast too. And you love this podcast too.
Welcome into the latest Mountain West Connection, we'll call it podcast today, that's a good word for it. We're going to preview the Mountain West Tournament, and maybe some other nonsense, we'll see how long we last with it, but MWCConnection.com, that's our website. If you just found this now, thanks for stumbling upon us, leave us a review at iTunes or where else are we at? SoundCloud, right, Chris? Is that it?
Yeah, Fisher? You missed the prime about 3 years ago. You're about 7 years too late. 8 years.
Exactly. Chris Andres there. And then another special guest to talk who will be at the because me and Chris are sad about this. We are not able to be in Las Vegas for the Mountain West Tournament because last year was so fun. We have Ian Nicole Madrigal with us to talk about UNLV, and she'll be in Vegas for the semis and finals and have a wonderful time at the Thomas and Mack.
Absolutely.
There we go. That's her right there. She helps out. UNLV coverage is great stuff for us. So let's get to the games. Let's just start talking. Do we need to discuss the player of the year stuff at all, or does anybody care about that too much?
Tech fans do. I'm sorry. I had to.
We'll just jump into it because I want to, even though people say we shouldn't. Well, first off, the coaches kicked out the media to be like the all-conference awards a couple years ago, but they still do their own. And that came out Sunday, and despite the Aztecs winning conference by a couple games, there was nobody in the first team. Apparently, that's a big deal.
I don't think that should be very surprising, actually. I think that the Aztecs, the reason they've done so well is they have been playing good team basketball, and different from, unfortunately, these other teams that have had pretty subpar performances altogether. You have to have those standout players. So you've had those guys on the Wyomings and the Fresno States or the Boise States that might stand out more than others. And the great thing about the San Diego State basketball team this year is with all their senior leadership and a couple of their newcomers, they've had a great team year. So I kind of wasn't surprised that, you know, they didn't have one person that was standing out or someone there that would stick out maybe even on the first team.
You made an egregious error there. I don't think we're allowed to call any player on their team great.
Oh.
I disagree.
Offensively, they're nothing.
Well, I think that's the system. I honestly, and hate me for what it's worth, Steve Fisher's program focuses so much on the defense and focuses so much on fundamentals that they absolutely share the ball, and no one player is going to stand out unless that player is truly NBA worthy, Jamal Franklin or Kawhi Leonard or whatnot. You know, will Winston Shepard go to the NBA? He might, but even this season he hasn't had a spectacular season, but he's been good. He's been, you know, flashes moments of greatness.
Yeah, the hard thing to do when they play so many players, and when your leading scorer is 13 points per game, say what you want all conference teams are individual awards, and unless you're Hakeem Olajuwon, Manute Bol, Mark Eaton doing blocking five shots a game, or that giant guy from New Mexico State a couple years ago, you're not going to be on the first team for the most part.
Excuse me, it's very difficult. 7'6" Mamadou Jaye from UC Irvine.
Oh, sorry, Chris, Big West aficionado. But you're right. It's not a big deal. It's like they got one player on the coaches' poll, which is great. But we're getting so much crap about an award that you won the conference by three games. You're the best team.
Absolutely.
And one last thing before we get to the actual games. They're saying they need to be in a different conference. Chris, would the Big West be a two-bid league if Aztecs were in there every year? There's your answer.
Wait. Hold on. Is that BYU talking? What, BYU, who has not won the West Coast Conference since they've entered? Oh, wait. Ever? No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't say San Diego State is worse than BYU. I'd say that San Diego State would be able to smoke most of the Big West, but they Big West would not be a one-bid league. I mean, this year you have the best chance. You mean two-bid league? This year in the Big West, you have UC Irvine and Hawaii. Both teams are absolutely fantastic. Hawaii's RPI is in like the high 50s, but nobody is going to get a second bid out of that.
Yeah, they're like a 14 seed I've seen for Hawaii.
So, good luck, Aztec fans. Nobody's going to come calling.
It's just a down year. And I know people are going to bash us. And I know it's that people have 20 Twitter followers and we shouldn't care too much. But it's just annoying. And a small part of me wants to see Wyoming beat them by 30 points in the quarterfinal round, if that happens. Just because I want them to shove it, and I don't care sometimes. I know it's about 2% of the fan base, but we like Matt Hoffman, Matt Bain, David Farrakhan. All those guys are great. But then you got the idiots who think they have this voice on Twitter. And I like how one guy who keeps calling us names, he works for like some, not a homeless shelter, but some sort of needy organization. And he talks so terrible to people. It's like, come on.
Well, I'm going to have all the SDSU fans really love me after this because
I
was thinking and I was looking before we went on with this and looking at the websites of preseason picks of who would win. And SDSU was at the top because it was really expected. They had the experience coming back. They had some good newcomers coming in. And this really wasn't a surprise. I think the bigger surprise was how awful their non-conference season went. And then all of a sudden...
San Diego! Toreros!
All of a sudden they get to conference and they go on a tear. And so... really, their season could have been that much better if they didn't have these weird, odd losses in non-conference. Otherwise, I think pretty much everyone expected that the Aztecs would end up where they were, maybe not having the conference season that they did. But listen, everybody else kind of had subpar performances. This was a really bad year for the Mountain West. The fact that we're talking about probably only one team getting in from our conference is... pretty horrible. It's kind of a sad year for the Mountain West Conference. We've been used to getting at least 3-4 teams in.
And once again,
there's a 5-year too.
And we've had flashes of brilliance. Both UNLV and Boise State beat, was it, number 8th ranked Oregon?
Hanging around Arizona, beating Indiana. State.
I mean, there has been those flashes of brilliance, but nobody's been able to close once it's come time to conference season. And I'll blame my own alma mater with that by losing to San Jose State last week.
Ooh. Potential rematch in round two. And one last thing, folks. The bracket is set up properly, like a normal bracket is set up. I don't know if anybody saw that, but that's another gripe from a certain fan base of the red and black.
No, I did not see that.
They don't... They're like, well, we should be playing San Jose State or Colorado State. I'm like, really? What if Colorado State's better than Wyoming and Utah State? They need to take, I don't know if either of you know this, but you guys remember Jim Herrick at Georgia had the bracket class?
Yes.
Oh, Mike.
I'm like, maybe they need to take that fake class in Athens to figure out how to do this bracket.
Fake classes?
All right, games.
Fake classes? Why are we talking about North Carolina?
No, Georgia. You know, the Jim Herrick deal from like, almost a decade ago.
Sorry.
There's fake classes, and one of it was a class was a coaching class, which is real stuff to create brackets if you're being a secondary educator for PE or football, basketball coach. But it's like, how do you make a 4-team bracket? How do you make a 3-team bracket? Who gets stuff like that? Like, ridiculously easy than what it should be. So
I need games. That class. That would be a great class.
Need that 4.0, right?
Absolutely. You apparently have not been in high school recently.
No, that's true.
Yes, Chris has recently stayed in high school, but we're not going to talk about that.
20th year. Season.
All right, games. All right, so we're going to kind of skim through the games, chat some matchups, but let's just do winners really quick for the first game. Tomorrow, games start at 11 a.m. Pacific. There's a million ways to watch it. It's on the Mountainless Network. I guess you can go to Amazon Fire, Apple TV, Roku, Xbox One, Xbox 360. You can bypass Chromecast if you cast through your computer, but not through the app, if that makes sense to people who know how to do that. So people are asking us questions. But Wyoming, Utah State. I think Josh Adams is going to score like 30 points and they're going to win. That's a simple win, right? Am I correct on that?
Absolutely. I agree with that. Josh Adams is one of my favorite players in this conference. And I think that this being his last stand, he is absolutely going to try to obliterate anybody he plays.
And let's not forget about the X Factor McManaman.
That's right.
That's true.
All right. So they're going to win. So UNLV Air Force, So who's playing? Who's eligible for the Rebels?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, that has been the question du jour. Well, according to an interview that Pat McCall had with RunRebs.com, supposedly Dwayne Morgan is now available. So he should be in this game. Jerome Seegers, I'm guessing, is still a question mark. I'd love to see him play because the Rebels definitely need that. But, you know, it's slim pickings right now. I can't imagine that they do not win this game. But if they don't, I wouldn't be surprised. And that's just the way the season has gone for the Rebels this year.
Here's the thing. 1:30 in the afternoon. Almost nobody's going to be at that game, except for the fact that, hey, it's 1:30 in the afternoon. And what are students doing at 1:30 in the afternoon? Hey, pop on over. If the athletic director plays their cards right, they should be promoting the hell out of this first round.
Cancel classes, exactly. Do it all.
So there should be some student support at that game.
This tournament's all, like, we've been there all four games last year, or multiple days. There'll be, even that first game, Wyoming travels. They will be there for this tournament. They'll be barrel man. They'll be. Because I remember last year when it was the San Diego State Wyoming final, was it what, 70% Wyoming fans, Chris? It was
crazy metal. And yes, barrel man is a real thing.
Yes. So real quick, we should mention these odds too. Somehow, even though we all picked Wyoming, Utah State's a 2-point favorite. That's weird.
Home team.
Whatever. UNLV's an 11-point favorite, which seems quite a bit. But again, like we all said, I wouldn't be shocked if they win or don't. They could win by 25 points or lose by 18.
Absolutely.
But I'm still going to pick the Rebels to win.
Yeah, I'm with you on there. UNLV rolls.
So Eli's going to be unhappy because Air Force is going to lose. He picked them as their Eli Bedgrez's upset or wild card team to win the whole tournament. So
wow, that is a wild card if I ever heard one.
He learned the meaning of stupid upset pick.
Yes, that was a couple weeks ago. And then next game, Colorado State, San Jose State. That's a 4 Pacific there. Will there be 25 fans in the stadium for this one?
Maybe.
Leftover Rebel fans?
Exactly. Colorado State was going to roll over, San Jose. It's not going to be fair.
Yeah, I picked the Rams for my team.
I don't know, probably.
Oh, you know something we don't know?
San Jose State can beat top teams.
They beat Boise State, so. I like the Rams will be fine. We don't need to discuss too detailed all these games, but they're my pick who could possibly beat San Diego State just because they could score so many points per game.
Yeah.
So that's kind of because, well, I don't know, they scored, 92 versus UNLV, but I think the Rams have a decent chance if they do match up just because they can score enough points. So if those teams win, let's get to the main bracket because The quarterfinal games, let me pull up the schedule here, as I should have already had it ready to go. Come on, Internet. San Diego State would be playing Wyoming, and I'm like, maybe I'd give Wyoming somewhat of a chance to win. Then I'm like, wait a minute. Wyoming and San Diego State, like, Aztecs just crushed them. Mm-hmm. But I like Josh Adams so much. So much.
Yeah, they just don't seem to match up well. I agree with you. I'm totally on the Josh Adams bandwagon, but unfortunately, it can't just be a one- or two-man team. And again, like we said from the beginning, and again, I'm getting a lot of Aztec fans right now.
Yeah.
SDSU plays as a team, defensively, offensively, and the Josh Adams show, as much as it might be great even for that game, it's not going to work.
They need an attacking offense, and they don't really do that. He'll just not a chucker, but he settles for the outside shot a lot of the times.
Yes.
Any difference, Chris? Or are you going in the red and black to win?
I think I have to go with this game.
What would you like to see, though?
Of course I would love to see Wyoming win this.
No, and also really quick, these are on CBS Sports Network. And if you haven't heard of the news, you have Optimum Cable. You can stream CBS Sports Network. But that's like Connecticut, New Jersey, and New York. So, yeah, I don't know who's going to stream those games. All they got to do is turn the switch. They did it for Air Force and Navy football, I believe it was. They turned the switch on, or Air Force and Army. Come on. Give us streaming. Because this game's at noon Pacific. Who's at home to watch at noon Pacific?
Not me. Kindergarten teachers.
1 o'clock my time, I'm leaving to go to work. So, no, I'm not going to be there. It's like, come on. All right. So, next game, I would say this is New Mexico versus Nevada. Approximately about 2:30 tip time. I'm trying to pull the odds up here, but I'm not working very well. These two teams played the season finale. Apparently, there's no odds on this game. Is this just Eli Brown going to score 35 points and be upset because they are finally winning? They won a game and want to beat them again? That's terrible.
I was looking at a website, and I promise it wasn't like a New Mexico website. And it was, again, another preseason pick for Player of the Year in the Mountain West. And it was Colin Neal. And I thought, how odd that, you know, it seemed like an odd choice. I guess maybe going into it, you know, looking at, you know, his past record, maybe you say that. But I actually have Nevada winning this game. I think that Marquise Coleman's going to come out on fire. And I don't know if you call that an upset, but I really do believe that the Wolfpack is going to end up with a win.
Interesting. How are you going with this, Chris?
Let's see here. Well, yeah, I think I'm actually with Nicole here. Nevada, I like what Eric Musselman has been doing with the team this year, all year. New Mexico's on a severe downslope. They've been pretty much up and down the whole season long, but I just, you know, they're not the New Mexico past. Colin Neal, he hasn't been great. I mean, he's been okay this year, but he hasn't been, you know, what he's been promised to be. But yeah, I think Nevada takes this. Gives me chances.
I'm going Lobos here because they won the last game, and Eli Brown was 5 of 15, and they still won. And he's capable of scoring 35 points whenever he wants. So I'm going that route. I'm going to go Lobos are going to win. We can kind of go through a couple of these games because we know the probable winners. But yeah, we'll probably be wrong, correct, in all these?
Well, I actually think that might be one of the most entertaining games of the entire tournament. I'm expecting that will be the first game where people, you know, really are biting their nails to the very end. I think it's going to be a great one.
I they played the 5 points last week. That's very likely the case.
Yeah.
Next game, we go to a little bit evening, the 6 o'clock game. Fresno versus probably UNLV. With this tip time, assuming it's UNLV, it'll be packed. It'll be 80% Rebels. And these two, remember last time, Fresno, at the time, we figured, oh, it's a big upset when people are going to, UNLV fans are not going to like me, but Dave Rice, when he was the coach at the time, he has no play calling abilities for an end of play scenario. And that showed in that first game when they had chances to beat Fresno. They did not with those three pointers.
Yeah.
Weird 3-point shots at the end of the game that one was blocked and one was just missed. But I Fresno has to, like, Marvell Harris, he kind of got player of the year. He got half of it, I guess, since he got one award from the coaches. I think Fresno could win. I just don't trust UNLV with their season. I'm like, even though, did you guys see the team rankings? Somehow they put UNLV the second best odds to win the tournament.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I think that Fresno State, if they have any chance of reaching the NCAA tournament, they have to win this conference tournament. And I think they have more firepower than UNLV at this point. Unfortunately, UNLV is just the story of the one unpredictable event after another taking place. And if Patrick McCaw doesn't have a great game, and I said this from the very first article when I was looking at the season to come for UNLV, however Patrick McCaw goes, the team goes. And yeah, you could have, you know, 12-10 from Steven Zimmerman, but if you don't have a great team effort plus Pat McCaw going for, you know, 15 to 18 points or more, then it's just not going to fall well for UNLV in this game for them.
So, I mean, it's how healthy is Steven Zimmerman then? I know he's come back after missing a couple of games. Is he 100%?
Well, when I see him play and when I saw him play live, he looked very much 100%. So I'm thinking that, you know, that would be a difference maker, but I just don't think that's enough. I mean, you have to have the outside shooting of Seegers and Aikwamu. You have to have a good post presence, especially with the grit of Fresno State in Dwayne Morgan. And because you don't have Derek Jones anymore, as of the latest news from the last week, mm-hmm. There's just limited options for their front court.
I don't think they could score enough in this game either. Chris, do you think for any chance for UNLV gets upset?
Sorry, my headphones have been going in and out, so I've been catching like everything that you guys have been saying, just in and out.
UNLV, they're going to – any chance?
I mean, where there's a snowball's chance in hell, there's always going to be a chance. But
so snow in Vegas?
Yeah, exactly,
yeah.
Especially in Vegas. I like the idea, and this is personal bias here. I like the idea of UNLV having some sort of home court advantage here. You know, especially since this is going to be the game where it's going to make or break UNLV in this tournament for anything, for any sort of postseason tournament. But at the same time, you know, this is going to be the one where the fans are going to be like, well, it was, you know, they know it's a bust of a season. They just don't know how much, right? And so, so I think with the fan support, I want to say UNLV wins this game. But at the same time, I really feel that Marvell Harris has brought the team together. It's become more of a team, even though Marvell Harris is doing everything. You still have Cesar Guerrero as a good number two man and other contributors who have been, you know, making this team very strong. And I think that Fresno State's just going to run away eventually. I'll probably be close about halfway through the second half and then they'll pull.
It's like most UNLV games, right?
Oh! Well,
yeah, I went there.
There yes. Go your UNLV fans.
Oh, whatever. We like our tagline. We're biased against your team, good or bad, and every team. Yes, your team.
Well, believe me, UNLV fans are harsher on themselves this season than probably anybody else. Yeah,
Nicole, well,
there's people kind of hate us and they kind of love us at the same time. It's a really weird relationship.
I just feel if people aren't complaining, we're not doing a good job because. Here's one mention I pointed out. As San Diego State fans, yes, I'll keep using that example because they're the current trend team we apparently hate. If we said every team was in first place, like every team's the best, they would somehow twist it to say, you mean every team's in last place. tied for last instead of tied for first. I'm like, come on. And I'm not, I'm not joking by any means by that either. All right. Next kind of game. Then we'll kind of, let's kind of mess around with the finals and stuff. But,
Twitter questions.
We have some off-topic questions we'll get to. I just noticed that now, too. Real quick, Boise, CSU, likely matchup. Boise should win. Your next-door neighbor, Nick Duncan, will be making an appearance in this game.
Next-door neighbor?
Nick Duncan.
Of course, yeah.
The dude. Call him the dude,
he's
right?
He's totally the dude. I don't know if you've heard me make this comparison. He's like the old guy who comes on the basketball court and really shouldn't basketball, but totally lights everybody up.
Jersey's a little too tight around the belly. But he'll, like, we were watching last year's title game or tournament, like, what the, seeing him up close, I'm like, yeah, he just chucks it. But Rams, because Boise's still up and down, I can see the Rams winning because they score so many points. But I think Leon Rice will have James Webb, everybody in line to win this game and make it to the semis.
I totally agree. I think Boise State's going to win this. I like Webb. I love their coaching. I don't think they're really going to have a huge problem with Colorado State, although this, just like New Mexico, Nevada, could end up being a real tight game right to the end.
Okay, real quick. Okay, we're not going to discuss semifinals, but what's your idea, Chris? What's your ideal matchup in the title game? Are your headphones working there, Christopher? Well, let's go to guest number two. What is your preferred title game or ideal title game?
This is ideally or realistically what I see transpiring. I think that it's going to be, and I called this. Somebody asked me a few weeks ago, who do you think is going to be in this conference tournament vying for a championship? And I said, San Diego State and Fresno State. I just don't see it going any other way. I do think San Diego State ultimately wins. I think they're playing for a lot this year. They're playing for their seniors this year to kind of come away with not only a regular season championship, but a conference championship. Maybe make, you know, first round or second round of the NCAAs. Fresno State has to win this to go to the NCAA, so we know that they're going to be playing for a lot in that championship game. I just don't think that they'd be able to do it. But I do see Fresno making it to the conference championship, although losing in it.
All right, Chris, you back with us?
No, he's not.
Oh, well, I'll send some messages on Twitter. So, I'm not Twitter, but Messenger. All right, so I agree with you. I think probably San Diego State, Fresno. I want to see San Diego State, Boise State, because these were the top two teams to end of the year, preseason favorites. Boise, the first time they played them, missed like their first 15 three-pointers or something. They beat them last time, and it looks like Chris did get dropped out, so we'll get him back in a second here. Oh, let me kick the user. So apparently Zencaster get a hand in front of this.
Yeah, just look to
put,
at that.
Put hand down. You know, we put a hand up for a question, I take it. That's what that is. Thank you, Zencaster. All right, we'll get Chris back here in a second. Let me re-invite him really quick. But I like, it's going to be San Diego State versus either Fresno or Boise. I just want to see Boise because they split. They did split the series, right? Am I correct on that?
Yes.
Okay, that's right. Oh, I don't want to get – I need to get the facts right, because if it's not correct for Aztec fans, I will be – I don't know what will happen. I don't care anymore. Yeah, I like Boise. I don't know, because here's the thing. If San Diego State's going to win, which, again, they're the favorites, they're the most likely to win, I would say Fresno State's the worst matchup for them, because
yes,
Marvel Harris can score 25 to 40 points.
Yeah, exactly. Boise,
James Webb, maybe not. Duncan could go for 4 for 5 from three-point range or something, but Harris is more dangerous. But I think it's going to be Boise, San Diego State. I think that's going to be the title game. New Mexico, San Diego State will be an interesting semifinal possibility, but I don't, unless Eli Brown goes nuts, I don't think Aztec's defense is too good to allow him to score. He'll need like what Allen Iverson did, go 20 for 50 to get, or 10, whatever he needs, like 40 shots to get to 20 points or something.
Do you have a sleeper, though? I mean, is there anyone that you see, you know, out of like maybe Wyoming, Utah State, Air Force? I mean, do you see any of those teams, even UNLV, being able to make it to the championship game? Is there any way that they could possibly do that?
I'll go back to what I said, Colorado State, because they could score points.
Okay.
That's the team. If it's not like sleepers, yeah, because – yeah, it'd be Colorado State because they can score enough points. And they've shown they're winning, obviously, has not been great this year for them, but they hang with San Diego State. They push them more points than they're more usually comfortable with. And they have the potential of enough players to score 15, three guys can score 15 to 20 points on that team. That's the only team I could see out. Like, even a 4-seed New Mexico, I wouldn't count them in even as a dark horse, but I'm not considering them. If it's not San Diego State, Boise, or Fresno, I think the next best team is really Colorado State.
Do you think anyone has a case for saying, hey, we have a good enough record? I mean, does Fresno State or Boise State, if they make it to the championship, is there any way in heck that they could make it actually into the NCAA tournament? Or are we just going to go with all the bracketologists and say SDSU is the only one that's doing it?
Chris, are you with us?
Check, check, check. 1, 2, 3.
Gotcha. I hear you. Do you hear us?
Okay.
Chris, so is there going to be a two-bid league somehow?
No. Unless, of course, some team beats San Diego State in the final. Then the committee is going to have more of a decision on their hands, but I think still this is pretty much a one-bid league.
Well, because if you look at the MAC with Iona winning yesterday, Mom is probably getting a second bid. Arkansas Little Rock potentially to get a second bid from the Sun Belt because their record's so good.
Well, Arkansas Little Rock beat San Diego State earlier in the season, if you remember.
True. Correct. Yeah. They're a potential team that could be at large if they don't win the Sun Belt.
So I have this crazy theory here, and it's not really a crazy theory. It's a theory that he and I discussed. So coming back to soccer-style promotion relegation. But
love it.
Instead of the committee deciding who goes to the dance and who doesn't, you start off with each tournament, each having two teams automatically bid in the tournament, the regular season conference champion and the tournament champion.
So those are the automatic bids?
Well, those are your automatic bids from each conference.
That's what 60. That's what 60 teams right there.
Yeah.
Right.
Is it 60? Are there really 30 conferences?
I believe so.
I'm
not going to check, but I'm pretty at least 25.
Cool. Are you still here?
So if the conference champion is the same as the tournament champion, then just they get one team in.
You know what? That's what I'm thinking. But at the same time, there's like a seeding for that. So like what they do in like Champions League is like the countries all have a meeting and they have like a 5-year coefficient rating and there's more teams and less teams decided on that. So if there's like say only one the conference title team is the same as the tournament title team, that's the one bid, but then that other seed goes down to an overall 5-year rating.
Wow. All right. Very complicated.
Hey, Chris, how about you go tweet with Andy Glockner? He'd have a fun conversation with that with you.
Sure.
Because I'm sure you've seen his stuff about that soccer and say stuff, right, Chris?
I have not, actually.
Yeah, I don't think he's done this year, but he did some similar idea of like this could be a better tournament or this could be a better way. But it makes sense because the regular season should mean something. It's the reason in the Atlantic Sun, who was it? I know Florida Gulf Coast got the bid, but who was it? Stetson was ineligible, but they're in the tournament anyways. I forget who won the regular season. I don't have the names in front of me. I apologize. But their thing was like if this team – and they were terrible this year too. They made some big run. So they made the deal where if this team that's ineligible wins our conference tournament – normally, it's the runner-up who gets to go. They said the regular season champ gets to go, and that almost happened if Florida Gulf Coast lost. So it's kind of the same thing like that, but right. That's It's an interesting scenario. It's like the Ivy League. You got the Yales in for the first time in half a century because they won the regular season title. But if you look at the Atlantic Sun, to go back to them, they've had Mercer upset team, Florida Gulf Coast Sweet 16. They had a team get hot. So it's like, what do you want? Your conference champion who won the regular season or a team that gets hot to win four games in four nights and they upset a team. So it's kind of like that. So let's get back to the tournament a little bit. We had our guy, or one of our writers, the coach, who does a good job for us, put together his top five matchups you like to see. Chris, I think you're away when we discussed this. What would be your ideal title game matchup?
For the good of the conference, San Diego State, Fresno State. For the good of my Schadenfreude, anybody but San Diego State.
Oh. Do you think it'd be, I mean, like, do you want to see San Diego Boise? Do you want to see, like, Colorado State get in there versus San Diego offense versus defense?
I don't – see, here's the thing. As much as Sandy – Fresno State and Boise State are the only two teams that can have the potential to beat San Diego State at this point in time. That being said, there's too many problems with both teams. And it pains me to say that San Diego State is really well put together. Until you find a
– defensively.
Yeah. And until you find a complete crack in the system, as both Fresno State and Boise State have done once, you know, it's really hard to do it again.
Yeah, it'll be very difficult.
Nobody really has a chance on that side of the bracket. So San Diego State's almost, I don't want to say an auto lock for the final, but something has to happen where they're not a lock for that.
Eli Brown needs to score 50 points or something.
Yeah.
In that quarter battle game or semi, whatever round that would be in. It's, cause here's what he put really quick. We'll get to some random questions again. They were really random today. The coach, he put Aztecs, Bulldogs, number one, which makes sense. Number two, interesting here, Fresno State versus New Mexico. Hmm. And I kind of told him, like, hey, do any order you want. It could be an order, just pick five. You could be for excitement, whatever you want to do, the order. So it's his list. Fresno, New Mexico, and it could be pretty exciting because of the pace. And then he goes with Aztecs, Boise, New Mexico, and then San Diego State, UNLV. For the fifth best title game.
Well, we know how that would end.
Yeah, Rebels win by 25.
Sure. God.
Well, no, probably not. But here's my thing about San Diego State. If they play like they did versus UNLV in the finale, they're honestly an elite eight team. But I'll point back to, and this is, I'm not saying we're, this is the truth. And I don't think this is speaking like, because we hate this team or whatever, but I made a podcast title, Can They Shoot 48%? That's all I'm asking. Mm-hmm. And if you go back to the Florida Gulf Coast San Diego State game, like, God, they're going to Sweet 16, a 15 seed, when they had Xavier Thames on the team. Xavier Thames. That's, yeah. Gulf Coast just ran up and down. Aztecs defense couldn't stop that. So if they face a team that pushes, that's why I think CSU has a somewhat of a chance if they do match up. If there's a team that goes too fast, and no team's really been able to prove that, so it's likely not going to happen, but that's the one way they're going to lose. A team pushes the pace, and the Aztecs go with the pace, and the Aztecs' offense, or their defense, gives up just a little bit. Their defense can be average, and they can lose by 10 points because their offense isn't good enough. They don't have one player that can score 25 points if they need them. Yeah, Hemsley might be able to get 16 like he's been averaging for in-league play, but getting to 20 or above, just because the amount of possessions you have is difficult. And that's where that's where the only chance they're going to lose is if a team pushes the pace and their defense just drops just a little bit. Just a little bit, but they're going to – I'm predicting them.
So one of our Twitter questions for tonight.
Hemsley?
Will the health of Jeremy Hemsley be crucial for San Diego State?
Yes, very much so.
Yeah.
So let's do winners real quick. I'm going San Diego State to win.
Me too.
Is anybody else going to?
Me too.
Chris? see, we like the Aztecs. We know what we're doing. All right, let's get to these questions. We got some weird questions tonight. So do you have them in front of you, Chris?
I do have them in front of me. This is the fun part.
What do we got?
Yeah, have you ever listened to our podcasts before?
Yeah, I have.
So they.
Thank you. First
no
of
no
all,
no problem. Yes, I have.
So they, you know, this is the fun part of the podcast.
Absolutely.
All right.
So, are you a shawarma person? Wait, real quick. Are you like shawarma?
Nah.
Okay. I still have yet to try it.
Sorry.
It's okay. It looks good, but I've never tried it, so I need to find a place here in Salt Lake to see if it's any good or not.
All right, so first question comes from at Ryan Gunstream. What came first, the bull money or the facilities?
It's not a football show, but we'll gladly take that. Well, it's the bull money, right?
Yeah, I've always said it's the bull money. I've got an excuse.
I'll agree.
Good answer.
This is a basketball guest. Right. She doesn't know too much about football. Do you?
No, that is accurate.
Oh, okay, I didn't want to assume something that I was going to get in trouble with later. All right, this question, of course, from Orange and Blue. Is Brandon Dassey guilty, and does he deserve a new trial?
To be honest, let me ask you. I see who that is now. I didn't know. I didn't recognize the name.
I didn't know who that was until I looked it up.
Until I look it up, you see a picture of Steve Avery. I have yet to watch Making a Murder, so I don't know.
Yeah, I haven't watched that either.
I've been meaning to. My wife's seen it for it's amazing. I just, for the past months, my work commitments have been about 75 hours a week, and I don't have time for that stuff, unfortunately. Have
Everybody
you seen it, Chris?
Everybody I know is watching it, though.
Correct. Have you seen
I
it, Chris?
Have not. I still have to work on Breaking Bad. Which apparently I've heard is a phenomenal show, and that I should really would relate to me in some sort of fashion. Which I have no clue what people are talking about when they say that.
Wait, I don't get that either because I've seen the show and. Outside of you being a, I think we discussed this before years ago, chemistry yes. in high school or chemistry, that's about it. There's not, that's like a very small part of the show. And so I don't know what they're saying about you if they say, yeah, you'll relate to it. The science.
I have a side story about I went to the talk of Oklahoma State professor who actually collaborated with the show at a conference once. It's kind of pretty cool to hear his perspective. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Tyler Bischoff.
Thank you, Tyler.
Could Colorado State's women's team make it to the final of the men's bracket?
Well, they are ranked in the top 25. They won the Mountain West regular season again. I'll give it a strong maybe.
This year, absolutely.
I haven't been paying
That's
attention
all the
to women's basketball this year, except for Big West women's basketball. My UC Riverside Highlanders swept the Big West, so. But I've not paid attention to Mountain West basketball this year, so I do not know. I would assume yes, though.
I just know they've been dominant.
All
right, Shooter McGavin.
What do you think are the long-term repercussions of the league's move to shrink the tournament field?
Excellent question, Shooter. I don't like it. Here's the thing. They're going to 8 teams for next year's tournament, which 8 teams is nice. It's okay. I think it's fine to do it. It makes the scheduling easier. But here's the thing. The reason it's at the Thomas & Mack is for monetary purposes because it's less expensive than going to the MGM Grand, the Orleans, or whatever the T-Mobile Arena is going to be, whatever it's called. There's some something popping up next year. You figure
next
what was that? Oh, next month. Well, I just knew it's upcoming. You would think, okay, people wanted the way from Thomas & Mack for home court advantage, which is a real thing. We've been there for the tournament. They're saving money, but they're keeping it at Thomas & Mack. You figure if they go to 8 teams, move it to somewhere else. But they're not, which means conference commissioners and presidents are more greedy to want to – the schools that go will get more money, but it'll cost less money overall. So whatever, it's just a dumb money issue. Also, what I don't like as well is that the coaches voted unanimously to not do this, but the presidents or and or ADs said, screw you, we're kicking three teams out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I – go ahead. I agree. I think that, you know, it's just going to be unfortunate, to be honest, to have those teams miss out on the tournament. And, you know, coming from the UNLV perspective, very easily that could have been UNLV this year. I mean, just mm-hmm. a couple more, you know, problem games and they would have been out. So it's unfortunate. It all comes down, I guess, to money, but I don't get it.
Yeah, and I'll tell you something about that new T-Mobile arena that's opening up. Whoever goes in there, that's going to be your state-of-the-art stadium. That's your next Staples Center.
If the Pac-12 tournament's going to be there?
If the Pac-12 tournament's going to be there, well, then good for them. We can keep the conference back because, I mean, the conferences are going to be paying a lot to go there, but they're also going to rake in the people.
Yeah, the Pac-12 tournament sold out for the first time this year.
And I was at the Orleans last weekend watching some of the WCC tournament. Mm-hmm. And our conference definitely would fill up the Orleans arena in a heartbeat. Maybe not some.
They fill up Thomas.
Yeah, absolutely. They fill up Thomas and Mac.
And that fills up more people, correct? A couple thousand more?
Try like 15,000 more.
Oh, I didn't realize it was that small. Okay.
5,000.
All right. Do we have any other questions? I thought we had a few more from the other days. We had something about – do you know who the announcers are for these games? I have not seen that.
Aaron Tyler again, as usual.
He's a football guy. I go through our mentions, but everything is about Waltaz complaining about us for San Diego State's. Or other random people I'm not going to mention because they're stupid. You know what Matt Kennerly asked me to do maybe for the website just to get more into the San Diego State things is put a breaking news banner at top of our page and put it's been 10 days since San Diego State has not been elite because that's the last time they lost a game and just keep adding to the counter as it goes up and up and up until maybe it goes to zero one day. But I think I'm going to negate that. Oh, new question. Hot off the presses. Great live question from Scott, number four, Nevada. Scott H. Carey. Do you think Nevada's Eric Musselman should have gotten more consideration for Mountain West yes. Coach of the Year?
I think he's the most entertaining on the bench out of all the coaches, other than, you know, maybe Larry Shiat. I don't know.
Agreed. I will say this. I love the hire. I like who he's brought in. Nevada's going to probably win the conference within the next – they'll be in the Mountain West title game by 2018 at the latest. So the next 2 years, they'll be in the title game. I guarantee it. They will beat UNLV on a regular basis somehow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I said it. No, but I think they'll be that good. They'll be a contender and – by his third year, they'll be at the top. They already are on the top half of the league. They'll be a top three of the league consistently within starting next year. I could see it.
Yeah, I agree. It's a great match. I think I don't know if they're necessarily going to beat UNLV on a consistent basis. That seems to be San Diego State's job lately. But I lost the UNLV fans myself now. Yeah, I think this year, like I said, I really am picking them to beat New Mexico, and I think I'm probably one of the very few out there that think that.
Well, let's see what else we have here really quick. I think we have another – oh, a new question here. Oh, what is it? Chris, what is this you're sending us on Twitter?
I was trying not to hold on.
I went to Slack. Okay.
I'll reset.
I thought we had a new question here. Let's scroll through. All right. You guys are hacks. San Diego State fans don't care about. Okay. This is all true Twitter stuff here. Are we doing it live? Sorry, Aztec Devin, one of the good Aztec fans. We did not tonight. So you'll get the podcast later. It'll be up to it'll be up tonight. I'm gonna go Lobos on Twitter. Okay. Let's see. I thought I had a few other questions here. Maybe. Oh, let me ask you this question. Since you're at UNLV, yeah. Rick Pitino.
Oh gosh. Yes.
So yes, there, it's happening. There, okay,
there,
we got it,
yeah,
right?
Is there, I know. Breaking news. what about Rick Pitino?
Well, I mean, he's not coming for real, but no. What's your take on like the coaching search? Is it gonna be Todd Simon? Is it gonna be the associate guy, the assistant, or is he the associate head coach from Arizona? Is it gonna be Miller from Dayton?
I want Archie Miller. I want Dayton's Archie coach Miller. Miller. I think that would be a perfect pick. I've been telling people that. Of course, I have so much say in the matter, so it really doesn't seem to matter to anyone. But, you know, Pitino is – it's such an odd conversation that even started. You know, I think the disappointing thing has been this weird dynamic of Todd Simon taking over this interim head coaching position, all the while, you know, Stacey Augmon has kind of gone on this campaign for head coach and
his wife.
It's just, and his wife, right. Exactly. Buying for him. So it's just created this environment of continued drama and tension. And it became really evident. And I know they were shorthanded against San Diego State this weekend, but you know, there's just a lot of problems. And I think we're not going to see some of the resolve of those problems until, you know, the season's over, and who knows what's going to happen. You know, is UNLV going to lose players to transfer? Who's going to be healthy? Are they going to lose Steven Zimmerman to the NBA? I mean, there are so many questions beyond coaching. Derek Jones, right? There's so many questions beyond coaching, but I think everyone is waiting to see what happens there, and I'd like to see Miller come in.
Well, do you think Simon would stay in the staff?
Well, that is a great question. I would think that there would be a possibility, since he developed that relationship, that they would allow him to stay on the staff. I don't think Stacey Augmon would be staying on staff. I just think he would probably go search other waters at that point.
I think Simon with the Bishop Gorman connection would be a good guy to keep there, because they can recruit. The only problem is they don't pay very well. So the Pitino stuff. Yeah, they'll find $6 million a year. I'm like, where? Who's going to give them $6 million a year? It's like, come on.
Exactly. It's like,
all right. Archie Miller. It's been super quiet, so we'll probably know more. But what it could be, you'll see. Maybe let's just say Monmouth or Iona or some. Chris, you mentioned a Hawaii head coach. If they make a run of the tournament, maybe he could be a good fit for UNLV.
It's one of those things. One of those things that he's done a whirlwind of a job with Hawaii so far. And I mean, they're 23-4 right now.
And they're ineligible next year for the NCAA tournament next year. All right. So anything else we need to add? I think we've done an adequate job. It's almost an hour. So for basketball only, it's a pretty big deal.
Adequate is good. I like adequate.
Adequate is good. So here's how we're doing the coverage for the week. So we got some previews up right now. Wyoming Utah State's live. We'll have a few others. Ian will be in Vegas for us, tweeting from out the MWC connection, plus the real Ia Emmett Mad. Is that how you would you say it, or did I spell it out?
The real Ia Mad.
Yeah, just how it is. It's in the Twitter. It'll be in the show stuff. So follow her there as well.
So it gives people an excuse to say, "Yeah."
What was that, Chris?
Exactly.
Yeah, so give her a follow for this weekend. She'll be there for the semis and finals, which is what I was last year. That's probably the best time to go. We'll have quick recaps. We'll have Twitter stuff. We'll have videos. And if I play our cards right, if the Mountain West does what they did for the regular season basketball, we could have live games on our website starting tomorrow. So nice. Keep that hush-hush so they don't deselect the embed code on the website. Because there are times they forget to do that. So I remember years ago, when CBS Sports started doing the SEC games online, I'm like, wait a minute. They have the embed code. So I'm like, we talk about football. We'll drop the live stream at our website. They caught it really quick when everybody did that for 1 week, like in 2010. Yes, Chris? You're sounding like your name, Blurg.
Chris is fading out.
All right, we're going to wrap this show up.
Create new emojis.
he's trying to talk.
Let's hope our conference doesn't create new emojis. Did you not see what Conference USA did?
What was that?
Oh, they
rolled. You think they might?
No, yeah, but they rolled out new emojis that are absolutely horrible.
And why do I care about Conference USA? Sorry, I'm not the underdog dynasty. Sorry,
majors. We are in the Mountain West. We're gonna do it at some point, of course.
Excellent. Okay, here's the best tweet of the day about our beef with the Aztecs. Apparently, from Cliff, a tweet just now. Cliff, because I retweeted something from 2 days ago that said it's beyond hilarious seeing people argue with us. And then I retweeted it. So Keystone80435 replies, oh, there's two parts of it. It really is. It's like they don't know who to yell at. So they just yell at the Mountain West Connection. That's getting a retweet for me there. So I know it's exciting just talking about Twitter. I think we're done with our show today. I think we're going way off topic, which is fine. No, we're on topic. We're just having too much fun, I would say, this evening. Is that fair to say? We are on topic. So here, like I said, here's the deal. We'll have previews, recaps, maybe some breaking news from on site, possibly, if something goes down. That'll be your job, EF, if that happens.
Okay, great. Perfect.
Just so you know. watch out for that. We'll have a podcast recapping the games. Just so you guys know, I'm not going to be there because I'm out of town. Because the genius I am, I got married over this weekend. That's always going to be the tournament. So I'm gone for the weekend. Which is fine.
Sure. I'd like to.
But will you be able to podcast Sunday night? We'll take this offline. Maybe we'll get Eli to hop on as well for the view. You two and Eli do the show or something, or Matt. We'll figure it out. But that's our show for tonight. Hope you enjoyed it. MWCConnection.com is the website. Go to SoundCloud, Stitchers, iTunes. If you don't have Pocket Cast, that's pretty cool. Download it there. It does cost a couple bucks, but Pocket Cast is amazing. I use it for because I can go to, like we did a couple weeks ago, 1.5 speed and talk super fast and listen like that. But yeah, find us anywhere you want. Leave us a review. Like we say, 5 stars, but tell us what you really think about it. So this is prime time for San Diego State fans who listen to the show, who don't like us. You could swear up a storm on iTunes, on Stitcher, but give us 5 stars. That's all I'm asking. Come on. We could tell your hate is worth 5 stars, right? Come on. All right, that's the show for tonight. We'll see everybody next time, and have fun at the Mountain West Tournament, everybody.